It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. As Republicans in the Assembly put forth a proposal to legalize non-smokable medical marijuana through state-run dispensaries, we get reaction to the plan, and you can be part of the conversation. Call in with a question, share thoughts, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Lucas Rickert is a historian of medicine and pharmacy, professor at the UW-Madison School of Pharmacy, and executive director of the American Institute of the History of Pharmacy that's based at UW-Madison. Luke, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks for the invitation.
Well, let's just establish where you come from on this issue right away. Should Wisconsin legalize marijuana for medical purposes?
I've been studying and writing about cannabis as a medicine, as well as a personal use substance, for over a decade now. My opinions have really sort of evolved over that time. I started out with this sort of research interest while I was in the province of Saskatchewan in Canada. And, you know, over a decade ago, the province was home to the country's sole manufacturer of medical cannabis. So Saskatchewan was producing all the medical cannabis across the country. And that's what got me interested in cannabis and medicine and how people got themselves access to it, which is a roundabout way of saying this is super intriguing. And I do feel like this is a positive step in the right direction for patients in the state of Wisconsin.
I wonder, though, would the pharmacy profession that you're in view this issue and this debate of medical marijuana any differently than other areas of the healthcare field, like, you know, primary care or palliative care?
I think many of my colleagues in pharmacy, and, you know, I'm not a health professional, I'm a social scientist and historian, but I think that many of them would sort of get behind the idea that they should be on the front lines in helping dispense and treat patients with medical cannabis if that's what happens and the bill moves forward. I think that they'd really, really want to sort of have a say in getting patients the best treatment possible.
Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss told WISN-TV's Upfront that this proposal would probably be the most restrictive version in the entire country.
We are not going to have something like other states do where you can walk in and say, I don't feel well, and they give you a gummy bear, right? So it's going to be much more limited than that.
So, Luke, is Wisconsin's proposal stricter than what other states allow?
The answer is yes, but we also have to remember it's really early days with the bill. I mean, we need to remember that a lot of the details could change once the negotiation starts. So we've heard a lot about five dispensaries across the state that are run through the state. And we've also heard a lot about fairly limited number of medical conditions built into this the piece of legislation. For example, the bill specifies there's no inhalables. But my point is that some of these details could change once the senators and the representatives really started getting to, you know, elbow to elbow and eyeball to eyeball.
Let's pick up on one of those details you just said, that the proposal calls for the state to operate dispensaries to dispense the drug. And these dispensaries would each include a pharmacist employed by Wisconsin to write prescriptions. Is this kind of setup unique?
So the idea of putting pharmacists there on the front line to assist is unique. One point of clarification, that there's only a couple of federally approved cannabis medicines out there. One is Epidiolex. And so basically, the patients who are getting access to the medical cannabis would be certified or authorized, but they wouldn't have a prescription in the sort of technical sense of the word, because we're in a funny old place right now, honestly, because at the federal level, cannabis is still Schedule One, meaning that it doesn't have any medical applications according to sort of the language of Schedule One. But then at the state level, More than two-thirds of the states have moved forward with medical cannabis plans for a variety of different conditions. So there's this tension that we have to recognize. And I just would circle back and say that putting pharmacists, who are really the experts on dosage forms and drug-drug interactions, putting them out front, I think, is really a clever thing to do because they are the experts.
Talking about a new Republican proposal in Wisconsin to legalize medical marijuana, Luke Rickert is with us, historian of medicine and pharmacy at UW-Madison. And you can join the conversation, call in with a question. You can share your thoughts, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Luke, can you step back for a moment? What types of ailments or diseases is marijuana helpful in treating?
Yeah, sure. I could take a step back, no problem. One thing I wanted to just sort of highlight is that, I mean, we're talking about a process of re-medicalization of cannabis, not purely medicalization. And what I mean by that is, I mean, Western-based science and medicine has known about the medical value of cannabis for over 200 years. And 200 years ago, cannabis was used for a host of different ailments, whether or not it was chronic coughs or pain associated with childbirth, a variety of different issues. And now what we're dealing with is, a variety of different ailments, again, related to epilepsy, seizures, pain reduction. And what you see, at least in some states like Illinois, they have a list of 50 plus conditions that they use medical cannabis for versus the 15 plus, or maybe it's, I think it's 15 that we've decided to put into this bill. So I think that gives you a sense of sort of the long sort of durée, the long history of cannabis in the United States and how it's been used for a good long while.
When you see that the Food and Drug Administration has approved one cannabis-derived drug and three synthetic cannabis-related drugs for prescription use, why aren't these existing medications sufficient to treat medical conditions?
So they have very specific, so I think what you're referencing is Epidiolex, and so it's been used for and approved for the treatment of seizures and other severe forms of epilepsy. And then you have synthetic THC in Marinol and Syndros. And remember, Kate, that I'm not a pharmacist or doctor here. But what they've got, in addition, what medical cannabis the industry has created is a number of other THC and CBD supplements and products in addition to those federally approved. And these are for conditions related to nausea and vomiting or chronic pain, like I said, multiple sclerosis, or even for loss of appetite. And so it really runs the gamut with the federally approved and then the non-federally approved medical cannabis products that are available to us.
Luke Rickert is a UW-Madison School of Pharmacy professor, leads the American Institute of the History of Pharmacy as we discuss a potential legislative roadmap in Wisconsin for legalizing aspects of medical marijuana. Be part of the discussion. You can call in with a question, add your viewpoint, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We discuss a restrictive medical marijuana bill circulating in the legislature and get historical perspective on the evolving nature of legal and illegal substances. Luke Rickert is a UW-Madison Pharmacy School professor, executive director of the American Institute of the History of Pharmacy. You can be part of the discussion. Call in with a question, share comments, 800-642-1234. Let's go to Kay in Madison. Hi, Kay. Go ahead.
Hi. I was born severely premature, and that had consequences for my body. So I pay attention to baby issues. And years ago, as I recall, when Colorado opened up marijuana use, studies were done on newborn babies whose mothers had smoked marijuana. And the results showed that the marijuana smoke never left the cells of the babies. And whereas otherwise cigarette smoke, for instance, goes through urine. And I knew someone who smoked marijuana for 20 years. He was a complete noodlehead. And every time in the summertime he walked into somebody's house, he would start throwing open the windows because he was so hot. I don't think the smoke ever left his system. And so they don't know what this has done to newborn babies.
Okay, let's hear from Luke on what research has been done or any inroads there. Luke, go ahead.
Sure, yeah. I just want to say thanks to Kay for that. I think she's pointing towards a valuable issue, which is there hasn't been enough concrete research been done on the effects of cannabis on the brain. And that's one of the elements that I think that is going to require future study. Luckily, the National Institutes of Health has become more receptive and more accepting of neurological studies and more physiological studies of cannabis in the future. And so I think that, you know, a good point's being raised there.
The Republican proposal would prohibit smokable cannabis products to be distributed in Wisconsin. And through our reporting here at WPR, would allow only edibles and oils. How does the way marijuana is consumed affect treatment?
So, I mean, take this with a grain of salt, because, of course, I'm not a doctor or pharmacist, Kate. But, I mean, there is a lot of evidence out there that suggests that inhalation is not as effective as getting the medicine into the system as either the oils or the or other edibles, and then of course you have sort of the lung damage that comes with the inhalable products. That's, you know, this piece of the bill itself sort of, you know, sets it apart from other states which don't have the sort of restriction. But I would honestly leave that to the medical professionals.
Well, let me ask you this, though. As you look at other states, are doses for medical purposes typically lower than what is used recreationally?
I mean, dosing is hugely variable.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, and one of the things I suppose, you know, I would say is that, I mean, since 96, you know, California was the first state to legalize cannabis for medical purposes. And then that was followed by Oregon and Washington and Alaska and you know, a number of other states. And, you know, we've gotten to this point where medical cannabis programs across the country have evolved in various different ways. So we have over two-thirds of the states have approved cannabis legislation, more than 12 states having recreational and medicinal programs. So I guess if I could say anything about this bill, it's that the legislators have a lot of different lessons that they can draw on from across the country.
Let's bring in Jeff in Delafield now. Jeff, hi. What would you like to share?
Yes, good morning. Thank you. Any of these proposals for medicinal marijuana really concern me that, and maybe not intended originally, but invariably they seem to become just a pathway towards full legalization. And that's a huge concern to me, because there are studies out there that show significantly increased societal costs in states that have gone to full legalization of marijuana. And I understand the medicinal use, but I don't think I got a clear answer of why existing pharmaceuticals don't serve the same purpose. I also understand that marijuana has been used medicinally for probably thousands of years, but I'll point out our society is different today. I don't know that it can handle something such as marijuana used medicinally. It's just there's too much abuse and too much cost to society, too much potential for cost to society. So this really concerns me, and that's my comment. Thank you.
Jeff, thank you for calling in. Luke, what comes up for you when you hear that?
Yeah, I think it's completely valid and valuable as an opinion. I would add to what Jeff is saying in suggesting that, while there is concerns about dependence with medical cannabis and personal use cannabis, it doesn't have the same sort of safety or risk profile as other opioids. And, you know, we've seen over the past decade and some a severe opioid crisis across the country. And we've seen this leakage from the medical realm into sort of the recreational realm. And it's, cost a lot of lives and caused a lot of suffering. And, you know, medical cannabis, while the research is still being developed, might be a better alternative to, strictly the opioids. I just add one other thing too, which is that there could very well be benefits for people in Wisconsin, taxation benefits, business benefits. The idea of implementing a medical cannabis program, and perhaps in the future even a limited personal use program, could help with taxation, keep dollars in the state of Wisconsin, and so those are other elements I think of sort of an evolving story here in the state.
Luke Rickert, historian of medicine and pharmacy at UW-Madison, as we look at a proposal, new Republican proposal to legalize medical marijuana. And your thoughts are welcome. Questions as well, 800-642-1234. Luke, Republican State Senator Mary Felskowski supports allowing medical marijuana and issued a statement saying she's disappointed the state would run the dispensaries and says that she's a firm believer that private entities are more efficient and more effective than any government agency. Do you see potential problems with government-run dispensaries?
Yeah, that's a really interesting opinion. And yes, I mean, there's certainly arguments to be made about the red tape involved with government-run dispensaries. And, I was struck actually by this part of the bill, I mean, because it seems to depart a little bit from, a free enterprise ethos, the idea that Republicans are going to have a centralized state-run kind of program as apart from essentially allowing industry to handle this. That was intriguing to me. And I guess another thing, if I can, is with the bill as it's been proposed, it seems a little restrictive, again, in only allowing medical cannabis for certain conditions, 15 some conditions. I've read a lot about conservatism and conservative orthodoxy, and this idea of Trump's right to try, we're giving patients the option of taking a medicine to help them as they see fit, as long as they have the support of medical professionals. That sort of resonated with me. And again, it seemed a bit of a departure from this bill.
Would 5 dispensaries, would that be enough to meet the needs of all Wisconsin residents?
Well, I think the answer is no. I think the answer also is that there's room for expansion in the future. And it seems to me that there, the 5 would grow in number over several years. It also seems to me that, residents of the state, if they were in need of medical cannabis for medical purposes, that, 5 would probably be problematic for them, that they would need mm-hmm. to go elsewhere beyond the state to an adjacent state. And so, it seems like the number is more of a pilot than anything else.
In our final seconds together, what research are you watching for in this area of medical marijuana?
Well, I'm tracking pretty closely some state polls. I'm very interested in public opinion around medical cannabis and also personal use cannabis. And then beyond that, Kate, I'm really interested to see how implementation at the state level impacts federal level.
Luke, thank you so much for joining us.
It's always a pleasure talking to you.
Luke Rickert is a UW-Madison Pharmacy School professor and executive director of the American Institute of the History of Pharmacy. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.